From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
God bless the USA.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to this wonderful Wednesday. I'm Stacy Ann. It's the 27th day of January 2021. Glad to be along with you for the ride. It's 8:06 in the morning, and oh my goodness, for someone who used to live in South Dakota and very accustomed to the white fluffy stuff, I have to say I was kind of excited to see the snow yesterday. Maybe some of you were as well. Maybe some of you not so much, because you're not like my friend Phil, didn't have the right kind of car to get up your icy driveway on the way home. But it was exciting to watch it come down, even though it was kind of more of a lumpy, white, fluffy stuff yesterday. We did talk about yesterday's weather and said it could happen, and it did happen. And it was fun going home yesterday afternoon in our little neighborhood. I watched mamas with their little ones trying to make a snowman, you know, and I honked and waved. And so different than the snow that goes down in South Dakota, where it comes down not inches at a time, feet at a time. And it was fun to see that. And hopefully you got out and enjoyed a little bit of it yesterday. Today, we're going to continue to see the weather be cooler. In fact, right now here at the KSLM studio, it's 32 degrees. We can see some rain coming down, 44 for the high today, overnight low 32, and continuing to be cloudy throughout the week. Towards the weekend, it'll raise up to about 50 degrees, overnight low in the 40s. So not sure what you have planned this coming weekend. There's lots of things starting to happen, not only online, but also face-to-face meetings. And there's lots of headlines. I want to kind of go over the headlines this morning with you. In the Statesman Journal, to our local Salem paper, they are currently doing a count of the homeless, which, you know, yesterday afternoon, I had an opportunity to meet with my friend Rebecca, and we're kind of doing some planning things for February, and we'll let you know a little bit more about that as we get into the next few weeks. But her and I were meeting, and we were thinking about the homeless. We were at a restaurant. We were at Honky Tonk, in fact, and we were outside in the tent, because many of our restaurants have makeshift, you know, eat outdoors, not indoors, because somehow that's safer, right, with COVID? Not so much, I don't think. We were freezing. And we were thinking, oh my goodness, the homeless, what are they doing? And she had no idea that they're planning on opening up the fairgrounds, but the number that they're going to open up to help in the next couple months is only 100 people. And so right now, at the Statesman Journal, on the front page this morning, it's talking about an annual homeless count underway despite the pandemic. So it'll be interesting to see what their numbers actually are, because you and I, as we drive around Salem, we're certainly watching them leave the low levels where they've been flooded out of and kind of hidden away from our eyes, even though they're still here, and now in intersections and things where they're more visible. And so that's going on. And here's some great news. I have to tell you, one of the things I was excited about coming back to Salem, Oregon, of course, I went to high school here, and I've been gone for 30 plus years living in South Dakota and Arkansas. One of the things that I was excited about is going to my school, Sprague High School's football games and basketball games, and listening to the amazing Christmas concert. And I have been robbed of all of those things so far, and so have you. The other thing I was looking forward to, both my brothers were very active growing up in baseball and playing baseball, playing Babe Ruth. And of course, we would go to the minor league games. And as you remember, the Volcanoes owner, they this year heard that the contract that they were under for the team here got pulled or switched or whatever, but Volcanoes created a new independent baseball league here in Salem, Kaiser. Good for them. After getting left in the dust by the Major League Baseball, the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes will be creating a new independent baseball league. The four-team league will be called the Mavericks League and will begin play in spring with all games played at the Volcano Stadium. I don't know about you, I'm excited about that. And then, of course, the news came out yesterday that the governor is talking about reopening some things, and one of those reopens could be gyms. However, In the news this morning coming out of Portland, they were talking about, okay, so six people for 500 or more square feet, it doesn't make economic sense. So even though it sounds like, oh, yeah, you can be open, it doesn't make common sense. So there's a lot of work that we have to do, a lot of ways that we need to stay engaged in the process. We need to be informed, good citizens, staying plugged in locally. But if you were like I was about 25 years ago, I'll go back, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Where do we begin? How do I contact my local leader? What do I even say? I have feelings about this issue, but I really don't know what to do. And how can my effort be joined with another effort to make a difference? And because of my journey and my writing my letters, and I was just a mom of young children, and I was concerned about some of the issues happening in South Dakota, and the lack of response or the form letter I would get back, I'm like, wait a minute here, I am your constituent. You should hear from me. And so I think it's really important, friends, that we come together and we work together to get these skills that we need so we can hold those in elected positions accountable for the decisions they're making. And one of the letters that I had gotten back 25 years ago, and it really rubbed me the wrong way, from Senator Daschle, Tom Daschle, if you remember that name in politics, from South Dakota, he was a stronghold for many years in D.C. He basically said in the letter, and this is a Stacy paraphrase, that because my constituents put their trust and faith in me, when I get in D.C., I make the decisions that I think are best. And I thought, whoa, I don't think so. So I started getting active, and I started learning skills on how to organize for change, which led me to get hired in a job that worked on health issues at the state level, and we worked and addressed on the tobacco air, the tobacco-free network, and working on indoor air. And now in South Dakota, our indoor air is smoke-free, and even in the casinos and the bowling alleys and those kinds of things. And so that's a story for another day, but I got involved and got engaged, and it's not too late. Doesn't matter whatever your age is. If you want to learn, there are training opportunities coming up, and I'm really excited to have this gentleman on the air with me. I'm bringing him up right now here. Good morning to you, Richard. How are you?
Good morning, Stacey Ann. I feel great today. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, looking at your history here and your work in Oregon, you've been engaged, long engaged, as far as grassroots training. You've held elected office. You have been passionate about helping people connect to their leaders for change for good that lines up with our values. Talk to us a little bit about who you are and the Western Liberty Network.
Well, I'm Richard Burke. I live in Silverton with my wife, Natasha. We have a German Shepherd dog, and I have a stepdaughter, Anastasia, who's 26. Love Oregon. Moved here in 1987. Started school at Nebraska, finished at Portland State. That was quite a clash, I'll tell you. And I got involved in public policy right away, and I have run for statewide office. I've run for local office. I've been on the Tualatin Valley Water District for 19 years, a couple of school committees in the Beaverton School District. I served on the Ethics Commission and also worked on some campaigns, Donald Trump and Dennis Richardson. I'm proud to have worked on those campaigns and also very proud to work with a colleague of yours, Jeff Krupp, when he was State Director of Americans for Prosperity. I was his grassroots director. And when the AFP pulled out of Oregon, that's when I decided to form Western Liberty Network in 2011. And I realized something during the Tea Party rallies. Mm-hmm. And that is that while victories in high-level positions are always important, that only has momentary change. Mm-hmm. I mean, notice how Donald Trump reversed some of Obama's orders, and now Biden is reversing some of Trump's orders. You can have important momentary change through local leaders. Through high-level leaders. But if you want long-term, enduring change, you have to create an underlying political culture that supports the values you care about. Mm. And that can only be done at the grassroots. That can only be done at the local level. And that's good news for grassroots activists because it means they're the only ones that can do it. Donald Trump, you know, he can do a lot of things at the national level, but he cannot change our overall political culture by himself. It has to be done at the grassroots level. And so Western Liberty Network is a nonpartisan 501c3 organization, and what we do is empower people to take control of their own governance. We train them how to run for and get elected to and serve in local nonpartisan office, school boards, water boards, park and rec, fire and rescue, mosquito control boards, all of those things. We train them how to also be good citizen lobbyists, advocates for themselves and the things that they believe in. And we also train them how to be effective volunteers for the campaigns that they care about. We don't endorse or oppose any candidate, even the ones we train, any political party, ballot measure, or legislation. But we do train activists, particularly grassroots activists, to take control of their own governance. And so the whole idea is to reweave the fabric of our political culture from the grassroots up. So that's, in a nutshell, a bit about me and Western Liberty Network.
Well, it's so interesting to me looking at your bio and even that you have your bachelor's in social science. I think you're my brother from another mother because our paths are similar in the grassroots. And I even was on a water board in South Dakota. And you learn a lot by those first time, you know, those entry level. A lot of people are like, why would you serve on a water board? It's the closest to your home. Your water means
That's
a
right.
lot, you know, and for us in South Dakota, we had well water that was not good, and so we were trying to work to get the grants and get the funding, and yet the people that lived in our neighborhood, they couldn't afford a $75 a month water bill to pay for the infrastructure, you know. So these places and they're elected are great training ground for other opportunities that might present themselves. And I was shocked this year to look at my ballot and see that people weren't running for things like water board
right.
or their local community. So I love what you're doing. I love that you're nonpartisan because these skills need to be trained no matter what you sign up for. We need it as citizens of Oregon and in our communities. The government that's closest to us is the one that causes us the most grief, I always say. And elections.
That's right. You know, local government affects people's daily lives the most day to day. There are over 3,500 local elected positions that are going to be up this May in our spring odd year elections. You don't have to be an expert to serve well in these positions. What they want more than anything else is good common sense judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And you will learn a lot. But what I'm hoping is that the cadres of local nonpartisan office holders that we train and campaign volunteers and citizen advocates will form the nucleus of sort of a farm team that will promote limited government values.
I love it. When we come back from this break, I want to talk about what you
sure.
have coming up. And I have a few questions when we talk about nonpartisan and a 501c3 for you when we come back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So glad to have Richard Burke on the line with Western Liberty Network. We'll be back after this.
Hey, yeah, you.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Want to remind you, friends, that you can register for the Freedom Celebration that's going to take place this coming Sunday. Kicks off at 1 o'clock, and to get registered, tickets are only $10 for a family of four, $30. And our tickets are going fast, and so I think today is going to be the last day to register. So if you've not called in or gone online to KSLM.news, please get registered for our event and our wonderful celebration on Sunday. I also want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor for any of your insurance needs. Be sure to contact Bill Sunderland. Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789 or sunderlandagency.com. On the air with me today is Richard Burke, and I'm really excited to have him here. You know, Richard, you said you've had an opportunity to serve and been elected to local offices seven times and was the 1998 Libertarian nominee for Oregon governor. Wow. You've worked with the Senate. You have all that grassroots background information to really, you know, Oregon, you know, you started like 36 different chapters, right, throughout the state of Oregon of grassroots advocates working together, getting trained. And so you really have the background to be leading an organization like this. And I'm just looking at your website, the Western Liberty Network website, and some of the training that you do is just fantastic. You know, how to have a campaign plan, how to start petition signatures. I mean, just some really grassroots dealing with the media. That's a good one. You know, how to get out the vote. And what I love about it is that you're bipartisan. You are a 501c3, so that means you cannot endorse candidates. You cannot even confront candidates with their misbehavior, right? It's you're just educating, you're just informing, you're equipping and empowering, and that's what your goal and what you do at Western Liberty Network. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, there are some 501c organizations that do educational functions like, you know, did you know that so-and-so beat their wives and that kind of thing that have an impact. But Western Liberty Network doesn't do that. We are straight up a training organization to provide grassroots activists with the skills they need to be politically successful where they live.
That's outstanding. And you have an event coming up this weekend. And tell me a little bit about how COVID has been interesting for your organization and doing the kinds of meetings you've done over the past. How have you had to change, or I guess the trendy word is pivot, in this last year?
Right. Well, we've taken some hits, no question about that. You know, our attendance at our conference that we're going to talk about shortly has been limited because of restrictions. We have not been able to do large meetings of people to be trained. We've had to do very small meetings and travel around the state. We've had to use technologies like Zoom, which I believe is a poor substitute for live training, but it's good. It does have value, and it is useful. Mm-hmm. So we've had to adjust with that. But that, on the other hand, has given us some opportunities. You know, we now do a weekly Zoom training that we're going to continue even after the COVID virus, because not everyone can get to meetings. Mm-hmm. And those trainings are recorded, and they're posted on the training tab of our Western Liberty Network .org website. So it has crimped our style a bit, but it has also provided us some new opportunities. And you know what they say, the Chinese symbol for crisis is disaster over opportunity. So we're going to try to make the best of it.
Well, that's outstanding. So this weekend is your annual, I think you've had, this will be your 11th big training, right? Regional training. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes, we kick off every year with a major conference. And we have national figures come in, and the idea is to provide information and inspiration for people to start the year on the right foot aggressively. And this year we've got an incredible lineup. Steve Moore, who a lot of people have seen on Fox News, he was President Trump's senior economic advisor. He's going to be doing a presentation for us. Senator Kim Thatcher will be there live. I'll be there. Representative Mike Nierman will be there live. Tom Cox, who is a systems analyst. He'll be talking about how to counter Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. He'll be there. Tootie Smith, Clackamas County Commissioner Chair. Lilia Zhukov, who is on the board of directors for Slavic Vote. There are 140,000 native Russian speakers in the Portland metro area. Most of them favor limited government, but only 17% of them vote. Slavic Vote is trying to get them activated. That could change the topography of our whole state. Senator Dennis Linthicum is going to be there. And also Greg Burnett, who's owner of the Burnett Media Group. He has a social media company, and he's going to talk about how candidates and activists can use social media more effectively in what they do, which is especially important given this time of Facebook censorship and Parler being shut down and all of that sort of thing. So it is a big deal, and that will start at 9 o'clock at the Embassy Suites Hotel by Washington Square in Tigard. We are sold out. Typically, a couple of people don't show up. You know, a few people don't show up, so if one or two people show up, they can. It's $75 for the day. It includes a hot lunch and a media packet and a badge, and we're going to have a great time.
So if you can't attend, is there any other option to attend online or Zoom or any other opportunity there?
Yes, we are professionally live casting the entire conference from beginning to end. If you go to the westernlibertynetwork.org website, there is full information on how to do it. There's a red button that says sign on with Zoom. If you have Zoom on your computer, just click on that red button, provide the passcode WLN, and you are in the conference. There is no charge for participating by means of the Zoom conference, and it'll be covered live from 9 o'clock to 5:30. All speeches will be there. There will be two cameras. We have a professional setup. Michael Strickland, who is fighting for our gun rights right now, he's also a media guy, and he's the one that I hired to do this. And
excellent.
We're trying to help him out.
Now, let me ask you this about Zoom. My understanding of the meetings that I've been involved in, you can also attend by phone. Sometimes there's a phone option where you can just listen in. Is that correct? Do you know?
Yeah, there is a phone option. That will be provided on the Zoom login page.
Mm-hmm.
We're really hoping that people will use the full Zoom installation, because there will be videos, there will be PowerPoint presentations, and a lot will be missed if they only come in by phone. So we're really encouraging them to use Zoom, but a phone option will be available if it's not possible.
I think this is outstanding and exactly what we need at a time like this. We're going to continue the conversation after this break, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Richard Burke on the line, Western Liberty Network, talking about an event, a training event coming up this weekend. You want to get involved. More information after this. We'll be back. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this wonderful Wednesday. It's a cool day today, and the roads might be slick as you head out today. Continuing to see temperatures in the mid-40s, overnight low 33, and certainly our climate culturally has gotten real cool over the last few weeks, and it's important, friends, that we stay engaged in the process. I know many of us feel like we've had the wind knocked out of us in the way that we think and the way that we want to vote. Those of us faith-based want a leader who is going to stand by our faith and family values. And that's something that is important to me. And so I try to, when I look at who to vote for from the local elections all the way up to the national elections, I look for those who vote. I vote my values, who line up with my values. Many of us are feeling like, what can we do at a time like this? It seems like, again, we're getting socked in the stomach. And here, especially here in Oregon, where there's a supermajority that line up against my values, it feels like, what good is my effort anyway, right? Well, I'm going to come back at that and say, no, this is the time we press in. We stay standing. We get equipped. We get empowered. We get engaged in the process even more. So don't give up. And one of the ways that we can do that is by learning new skills and understanding how to communicate, and communicate in a way that we can be heard with honor and in a civil method, all of those things. And that's why I'm so excited to have Richard Burke on the air with us today to talk about this training that's coming up this weekend in the Western Liberty Network and the network of folks, no matter what your party affiliation is, trained in how to engage our elected government. That are, they're supposed to represent us. They are. And they don't many times because many of us aren't communicating or not communicating in an effective way. Now, Richard, I have this question for you.
Sure.
In this day and age of digital communication, of course, a lot of people have been deplatformed the last few weeks, but in this day and age of communication, and with our elected leaders, now with COVID, it makes us even more barriers to going to like Cracker Barrels or legislative sessions where they go back to their little community and give a report of what's going on. What's the most effective way for people to communicate with their elected leader?
Well, I think telephone is a really good one. If you can't meet them in person, get them on the phone. They live interaction, there's simply no substitute for.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to them, make sure that you show respect, use their titles. That helps them relax, let them know you're not a whack nut, and then they can let their walls down and talk with you a little
mm-hmm.
bit. But what I advise people to do is to simply tell the personal story about why the issue they're calling about is important to them.
Yes.
A personal story is often more powerful politically than a lawyer or a scientist or a statistician. Also, make sure that your legislator knows who you are, not just your name, but who you are, that they should care about your opinion. Let them know that you're engaged in your community. Do you volunteer at your school? Do you volunteer at your senior center? Are you a member of a service club? Are you a soccer coach? All of these things tell the legislator that you're not just a lone wolf, that you are connected, and that they should listen to you because you'll talk with other people about your interaction. Those are just a couple of things that we train on, just a couple of tips. But I can go through the agenda if you want to know what we're going to be talking about on Saturday.
Oh, yes, please do.
Sure, okay. We're going to have some opening ceremonies, a flag salute and an opening prayer, a couple of preliminaries. Then Kim Thatcher is going to talk about the 2021 legislative session and tips on how to be a strong citizen lobbyist. And then Dennis Linthicum is going to talk about the kind of government we should have and expect. We get used to the kind of government we have, and we think that holding the line is okay. He's telling us or challenging us to go further and work for the kind of government our founders envisioned. At 11 o'clock, Tom Cox is going to talk about the tactics of Saul Alinsky and how to neutralize them. The left has been expert in their use of Saul Alinsky tactics. One of them, for example, is to accuse your opponent of what you yourself are guilty of. That's
mm-hmm.
a classic thing.
Projection, right?
Tom's going to talk. Yep, he's going to talk about how to identify those and how to counter them.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to have lunch where we'll have some awards, announcements, and Mike Neerman is going to talk about how to raise your first $2,500 if you are running for office or if you're raising money for an organization or a project. Then Lilia Zukov of Slavic Vote is going to talk about her organization, their accomplishments, what they plan for 2021, and coordination with Western Liberty Network. At 1:30, I'm going to talk about running for local nonpartisan office and how to get elected and some tips along those lines. At 2:30, Greg Burnett is going to talk about using social media and campaigns for local nonpartisan office. Then Tootie Smith is going to talk about how to respond to executives who exceed or abuse their power or authority. She is the chair of the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners. And then the final presentation will be Steve Moore, former economic advisor to Donald Trump, and he is going to talk about what grassroots activists can do to fight against bigger government in the Biden era. And so that's our lineup, and it's available free on Zoom if people go to the westernlibertynetwork.org website.
That's awesome, and we certainly are excited. I'll be there on Saturday and are excited about connecting and networking and letting our listeners know how they can get engaged in the process. Now, Western Liberty Network, is it a member organization? Do you join? How does that work if people want to get your emails or your newsletters? What's that process?
Sure. We do have a join button at the top of our website. A big red button says join WLN, and you can get yourself on a list to get our announcements. And we would love to grow that list. And then lower down is the sign on with Zoom button that you can use to simply sign on if you have the software. We have not only this conference this weekend, but weekly trainings every Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So one other thing, too, on Friday night, the night before the conference at 7 o'clock at the conference hotel, we will be having a reception with hot appetizers as long as they last. No host bar and good fellowship. Most of the speakers will be there and people are invited to come.
And that's 7 o'clock the night before. Excellent. So
that's correct.
Your organization has been here since 2011. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You know, it's interesting for me, friends and listeners, to have these kinds of organizations and these resources, treasures in Oregon to help us get equipped, know what's important. and how we can be effective in communicating with our elected leaders, especially as we're getting through all of the obstacles because of COVID and in our lockdown right now at the Capitol. We're not allowed to participate, even though constitution-wise, we're supposed to be able to participate and be active in the legislative process. Now we are on Zoom and other things. It's important that we learn how to get through all of this. And here's a training opportunity for you and I. Now, Richard, back in 2000, when I was in South Dakota and involved with grassroots organizing and similar types of activities, nonpartisan-wise, it was very interesting the shift that happened in a total different direction that happened. Elected leaders that went to the state house were doing one thing, and then they were going back to the community. This is before 2000 and the internet, and then broadcasting what's going on in the floor and in some of these legislative meetings. And when mm-hmm. the internet got engaged in the process, and we could hear back at home, we could listen into these committee meetings. We could listen into the floor when the Senate or the House was voting and listen to what our elected leaders were saying. Suddenly there was higher accountability because they could no longer fool people, and we weren't relying on the media or the journalists to report what happened on the floor. We now could hear live in real time, and it was very interesting going to the local Cracker Barrels, is what they call them in South Dakota, the Saturday morning coffee meetings where the leaders would give a report, right? And people would start reiterating back to them what they had said, and it was like a gotcha moment. They realized, oh my gosh, I've got to change my methods, you know? And accountability, that person, that one-on-one accountability to our elected leaders is so powerful. So powerful. Have you seen and watched and witnessed some of that accountability over the last 15 years in your work?
Oh, absolutely. It happens all the time when people are consistently engaged and they're watching what's going on. I've come up through the rise of the internet like many of your listeners have, and experienced some of the things that you've experienced. And of course, what we're learning now is that there's always a plus and a minus to new technologies. But one of the good things is we can do firsthand monitoring of what our elected leaders do and hold them accountable when they come home, or at least at the next election. So, what you find is these things become habits automatically as you become more engaged mm-hmm. and as you learn how to do what you need to do to be effective. People will sort of acquire these habits, and they will acquire the right ear for knowing what's important and what isn't, and they will develop a tone for expressing themselves. One thing we recommend that people do is join Toastmasters. Mm. If there's a local Toastmasters organization, you can participate in that, learn some public speaking, also some critical thinking skills. Another organization we support is the National Association of Parliamentarians. People learn how to run meetings and participate in Robert's Rules of Order and know what's going on when parliamentary procedure is being used to bamboozle us. There are a lot of resources that are available and available for free and are very, very powerful. Western Liberty Network is but one of them, but we're hoping that people will sign on to the westernlibertynetwork.org website. Join WLN, sign on to the conference with Zoom, take advantage of our training page where we've got all kinds of training documents and videos, look forward to working with people like you.
How are you funded?
We're funded mostly through the tax-deductible donations of business people, people who are too busy to engage themselves, but they want to do something foundational. Mm-hmm. And without those contributions, it would be impossible to have the technology or do the traveling or any of the other things or just keep the lights on.
My understanding is in Oregon, there is actually some sort of tax credit. Is this something Western Liberty Network qualifies for? There's some sort of tax credit that a lot of Oregonians don't know about, whether it be for...
You're thinking of the Oregon political tax credit. It does exist. The 501c3 organizations are not eligible
okay.
to offer that.
Okay.
What we do offer is tax deductibility. If someone donates $10,000, they can deduct that on their taxes. The Oregon political tax credit is $50 or $100 for donating to a PAC or a campaign.
Okay, very good. I've got a few more questions when we come back from this break, Richard. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Yeah, you. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. KSLM, I'm Stacey Ann. Want to say thank you to our morning show sponsor, Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. 503-939-7099. And looking at our community calendar, I want to go through some things, and I want to remind my friends here listening, if you want more information about any of the events that are coming up that we've been talking about, you can send me an email. We're working on getting a link on our website at kslm.news to a community calendar of all these events, because they're starting to pop up again now as we start. And I'm speaking this into being. We're going to open up, and we're going to have all these things that we can go to and training and all of that. And so coming up this Friday, because of COVID and because of what's happened in D.C., the National Walk for Life, which has had thousands, hundreds of thousands. I've actually attended this, where all pro-life leaders and activists, in a sense, come to D.C. to stand for life. They're doing a virtual event this year. You can join them online. We'll be putting more information out on that. Of course, we have the Western Liberty Network. They're having their training Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join virtually through Zoom, and we'll be talking a little bit more with Richard on that. And then Sunday, today is the last day to get registered for the Freedom Fest, the Sunday where you and I get to interact, and all our listeners, thank you so much. 31st of January, 1 p.m. Registration will be closing today. Go to kslm.news or call us here at the radio station at 503-316-1220. Then there's going to be a biblical citizenship class February 14th at People's Church. This is really important, showing us why biblically it's important for us to participate as citizens in our day-to-day lives in our local government. And then February 18th here, and I'm looking up this information, going to find out more. Salem is doing a kind of a virtual breakfast with the chief of police here, and the Police Foundation is putting that on. I'm going to get more information. Maybe we can get someone on the air about that. And then February 19th, 20th, Chris Ann Hall will be at the River Church here in Salem. So you want to get registered for that, therivernorthwest.com. Get your tickets. And then Oregon Right to Life will have a virtual lobby day February 25th. And then something in March, parents and grandparents concerned about our schools, the Northwest Safe Schools Summit. So we're going to put all these links. If you want more information about any of those things, you can send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at kslm.news. Richard, I have enjoyed our time together, and I have a few questions that oftentimes I want to throw out to you just to get your, like, your 30-second elevator speech on these things. Talk to me. I'm going to kind of role play a little bit. Well, Richard, I just don't think my vote counts, being active or calling my elected leader. I just don't think it makes a difference. What do you say to them?
Well, I tell them that it absolutely makes a difference. Tell them about how close elections are often decided by constituents who like or don't like what they do. I also say to them that their voice matters more as they go to more local levels. So if they feel they're not effective at the statewide level, get involved at the local level, your school board, your water board, those kinds of things. One person makes a big difference in any environment, but the more local it is, the more the difference is made. Tip O'Neill was famous for saying that all politics is local, get involved locally.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And the other thing is, I really want to run for something. I've got a little extra time, and I want to run for something, but I'm kind of thinking school board. But how do I find out more information about that?
What I would do is go to your county elections office and ask them for all of the positions that are going to be up for election for which you're eligible to run. And they will give you a list of all the positions, and you can take a look and see, you know, where candidates have filed, where incumbents have filed. A lot of times I encourage people to fill out the documents for three or four positions, and then at 4:45 on election day, go on into the office and see if there's a position for which nobody has filed, and hand over the paperwork for that position. People can get involved in almost any form of local governance. What they need is not necessarily technical skill, but they need good judgment.
And for those that don't want to run, those that want to help run, those volunteer opportunities, you are so valued. And I know many campaigns would not, those that actually get elected and those that ran good races and didn't get elected, they couldn't have done what they've done without their volunteers. And so if you don't want to be that name on the ballot, but you want to get involved, if there's already someone that you think will be running or possibly running, or you hear that they're running and you want to help, get involved, get engaged in that process. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Find out who's running for offices. You can tell your county elections office. Usually they have a website to show who's filed. See if there's somebody there you like. And then give them a call and volunteer for them. But get trained. Make sure that you're a trained volunteer so that your time is used most effectively. And if you don't want to do either of those things, become a citizen lobbyist or a citizen advocate. Western Liberty Network provides training on all those areas, you know, to build the cadres of activists that we need to change our political culture. We're just hoping that people will participate in the training, go to the westernlibertynetwork.org website, take advantage of our materials, sign on to the Zoom conference, and if people want to sponsor the conference, they still can. Go to the westernlibertynetwork.org website, click the sponsorship button shown right there, and you can support what we're doing and help us train more people.
That's excellent and great point, and I'm certainly excited to be able to attend, meet you personally, and meet the other advocates, the great advocates of Oregon, working to engage in the process. It's so awesome. Give us your website again.
Okay, it's westernlibertynetwork.org. You know, Western Liberty Network, all one word, .org. And, you know, it's. I look forward to meeting you as well and the other folks. Of course, you'll enjoy meeting my wife. She's way more popular than I am.
Oh yeah.
But in addition to getting trained and being politically effective, this can also be fun. And we're about having fun. And don't forget, the conference starts at 9 a.m. on Saturday, but the reception, the party starts at 7 p.m. on Friday.
Oh, that's
COVID operations will be on hand, so people can feel safe. And doesn't mean we can't have a good time.
That's right. And we can network together for good, changing our local government to reflect our values. And I just implore our listeners, each and every one of you, do what you can to join in. And thank you so much, Richard, for your time and your efforts and what you're doing here in Oregon, standing strong, equipping others. It's a wonderful thing. And people think the hokey pokey is what it's all about. No, this is what it's all about. And I'm so blessed to be in a position to network with you. Thank you so much for your time. Will you come back on the air and give us some updates as we move through this year?
It would be a pleasure. And remember, Benjamin Franklin challenged us to keep the government that the founders gave us. That means we have to step up. Step up, get trained, engaged. That's how we take the field.
That's right. And we will do it. Thank you, Richard, for your time. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you this weekend.
You too. God bless. Bye.
And we're so glad to have you tuning in today. And I want to remind our listeners today to get signed up for the Freedom Celebration coming up this Sunday. Today's the last day to get signed up. If you or your family have had some economic challenges, you'd like to go, but you don't think you can afford the family amount, we have some sponsors. So give us a call. That number is 503-316-1220. And we'll see if where you're at on the list to get you sponsored, all right? Thank you so much, friends. You have a fantastic day working together to make a difference right here at home. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow.